Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Filling in for Mark Ryan, I'm Derek Fogel. Great to be with you. You want to call in? We've had a lot of callers a little upset that I said the ACC stinks. Clemson fans feeling like I'm insulting Dabo Swinney. That's really not it. But you want to weigh in, 844-477-3776. You can, of course, text in if you feel like that's easier for you. 71307, that's the number. You can start that text with ESPN. And then if you want to find me on Twitter, at F-O-G-E-L said what. That's Fogel said what. So check this out. I wanted to get to this last hour, but we got a little wrapped up in this Clemson ACC bowl games trying to help the ACC scenario. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about what Tua said about his decision. We'll get to that. But first, I want to talk MLB offseason. Actually, players are having less standoff with teams, including the Braves. You, of course, know that they've made some signings with Will Smith, Chris Martin, Tyler Flowers, Nick Markakis, Travis d'Arnaud, Darren O'Day, bringing them back, also bringing new guys in. Well, today they signed Cole Hamels, a one-year, $18 million deal. He was pretty good last year. 2.98 ERA in 17 starts. He then had an oblique strain and the wheels fell off, but that's not important. He was good last year. That's a pretty solid pickup for the Braves. All one-year deals. They've shelled out $98.75 million. All of these guys are one-year deals, except for Will Smith. He got a three-year, Chris Martin a two, and d'Arnaud a two-year deal. So the Braves apparently still claim to be in the running for Madison Bumgarner per Ken Rosenthal. But look at that. Got a top left-handed starter. Braves still making a run at it. Good for them. Now, I need to tell you the drunkest fans in the NFL. This is from VinePair. They did this back in 2015, and it went viral a bit, and this was mostly because of Buffalo, when this was when really Bill's Mafia came to fruition, and actually the Erie County Sheriff's Office had to respond and saying that they need to clean things up around New Era Field, and they did. So back in 2015, when they first did this BAC for NFL fan bases, they found that Buffalo was number one, 0.076, the average blood alcohol content level for Bills fans. Well, they have since dropped slightly below the league-wide average, which is 0.04. And that's good news for the Bills fans. They're drinking responsibly now. They are still breaking tables, though, which is all in good fun. Now, the most drunk NFL fan base, per this year's study from VinePair, I don't know, you could probably guess this. The Dallas Cowboys, 0.062.
Wait a minute, it's not Cleveland? I thought for sure it'd be Cleveland.
I know, Cleveland actually ranks 14th at 0.042. They're right around the average, the most sober fan base is the Atlanta Falcons, which is, I don't know if I trust that, because they are the first stadium in the league to drop, they dropped food prices. Did the beer prices drop also? I can't remember.
See, I don't drink, but I believe they might have. But
I thought they did.
But listen, if you drop the food prices, then you have dropped the drink prices, haven't you?
Yeah, but we're looking at, I don't know if you can just,
well, it only cost me that much for a hot dog. I can buy me another beer.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know what? It still doesn't make sense. They should be drinking heavily in Atlanta, especially with what's going on with the Falcons this year. But, you know, it's fun. I like this. Let's see. The division winners. Are you actually, you know what? Before I tell you the division winners for drunkenness of NFL fan bases, guess where Carolina is out of the 32 teams, Lonzo? I want you to guess where they're ranked.
Well, I've been told that they are a wine and cheese crowd, so I would say probably somewhere near the bottom.
Well, that is, a good guess. I had no idea. I didn't know that was a stigma attached to Panthers fans. But, yeah, they're ranked 21st, and their BAC on average is 0.039. So disappointed in Panthers fans. Quit with the wine and cheese. Start drinking more beer. That's why you're supposed to go to football games. Texter says, that's not fair. The Chargers have a small sample size. It's funny to see what teams here. Here's the top five. So I told you the Cowboys are the drunkest. Their fans are the drunkest. Number two are Patriots fans. Yeah, they're winning. They're getting wrecked. Then it's the Saints. That kind of makes sense. New Orleans is a good party town. Then it's the Arizona Cardinals, which they have a great tailgating experience. I don't know that they really have any reason to stay sober for those Cardinals games. They've been bad. And then here's number five, the fifth most drunk fan base. I'm confused by it's the Colts. I'm surprised by that. Maybe they're still drinking their feelings about losing Peyton and him going on to win another Super Bowl. That might be it.
It snows in Indy in the winter. It's pretty cold. There's nothing else to do.
But they're inside.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Yeah, and then the most sober ones, of course, I said the Falcons were the lowest average BAC. Then it's the Giants, which that's weird because I feel like New York would be heavy drinkers, but they have no reason to go to games, so they maybe have a smaller sample size, like the texter's saying. Then the Buccaneers, which that makes sense because Tampa Bay is a retirement community. Then the Steelers and the Redskins. That surprised me. I feel like Pittsburgh, people drink. And in Washington, people, well, again, smaller sample size. Yeah, so maybe they're not going. I guess that makes sense. I don't know. It's fun, though, to see the average BAC at a NFL game is 0.04. Hopefully everybody's figured out a way to have a driver. But that is an astounding 0.076 in Buffalo in 2015 compared to the much more sober 0.062 for the Cowboys to lead the drunken NFL fan bases. Proud of you guys. Go to your games. Get wrecked. Texter says Jim Irsay is the sole reason Indy is number five. Hey, whatever it takes.
He's leading by example. So here's what you should do, I guess.
It's all bad. But if you're just going, you're trying to have some fun. One thing I was surprised by was, I said that I was surprised Atlanta was so low because, I mean, you know, they have the lower prices and everything else. I was really surprised by the Giants being so sober. New York, drink up. Oh, and here's your division winners. The Patriots, of course, they were number two. The Browns are the leader in their division, the AFC North, for being the most drunk, even though they're 14th. AFC South, the Colts, as we mentioned. AFC West, the Broncos. I'm surprised there, too. Kansas City has a great tailgating experience. Drink up, Chiefs fans. NFC East, the Cowboys, of course, they're number one. NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings. And they come in sixth with a 0.05 BAC. Come on, Chicago. Miller Lite and Old Style runs through your veins. NFC South, the Saints, as I mentioned, they're third. And that makes sense. New Orleans, that's a pretty good party time. And then, as I mentioned before, number four overall, a 0.055 BAC. And the NFC West, the Arizona Cardinals. And San Francisco comes in seventh. But yeah, the Cardinals have a good tailgating experience as well. And their team is awful. Drink up, Cardinals fans. That's just a fun thing that it went viral in 2015. I'm surprised it didn't find its way this year, but it's always good entertainment. Moving back to this ACC conversation. Is Aaron still on the line, Lonzo?
Yes, he is.
Aaron, are you there? Come in, Aaron.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hey, what's going on? What do you got for us?
Hey, man, I just want to throw it out there. You know, everybody always talks how the ACC is so weak. Yeah, everybody knows the ACC is weak. And, you know, Clemson the last few years has just been destroying anybody in their path. Anybody can sit here and say that, you know, they don't play nobody during the season. They don't play nobody. And then we go to the playoffs. We dismantle anybody they put in front of us in the playoffs. And then they want to put out excuses of how Alabama was so tired. They wasn't focused. Well, you know, that's their problem. It's their coach's problem to keep them focused during all through the season. It doesn't matter who you play or anything. And, you know, and Carolina fans are mostly the ones who's always crying about, oh, ACC, y'all don't play nobody in ACC. Well, guys, man, I mean, y'all lost to two ACC teams this year. I mean, won't y'all just move to the FCS so you can have a winning season and you can brag about something? It's just an on and on thing going on because they're never going to be anybody in the SEC. I mean, they're never going to have a great recruiting class, even though they say they are, that they never will. They're always going to be at the bottom of the SEC, so that's what they need to do. Move to the MAC. Move to FCS if you have to. Just so you guys can be happy and have a winning season. And there you go.
Oof. Aaron with some heat there, but the reality is...
Here's the thing. Aaron just went classic Clemson on us and threw Carolina out there when Carolina wasn't mentioned on any of these calls. And so it's diversionary. Don't look at us. Look at how bad Carolina is. Last I checked, no one's dog Clemson at all. Clemson is the best team in the ACC. They're number three team in the country. Some say number one team in the country. What's wrong with what are you getting upset about? The ACC stinks, but Clemson is still really, really good. Calm down.
It's also really funny that you would have the audacity to bring up Carolina when, number one, they haven't been brought up, but also they had one of the toughest schedules in the country. So that's not a good example to compare yourself to. Did they lose to a couple ACC teams? Sure, but guess what? They had the toughest schedule in the country, and then they beat one of them. They beat Georgia. So that's not a good argument anyway. I know there's a lot of animosity between Clemson and South Carolina fans, but that is not a battle you want to have if you're the Tigers. It doesn't matter how bad the Gamecocks were. They had one of the hardest schedules in the country, and they won one of those games against the three top teams in the country. So don't go down that road. All right. I know we just opened up a huge can of worms. Oh, boy. Yeah, I see the text line. This is all bad. Lonzo, you warned me. You said I was barking up a tree here talking with Clemson fans about it. But, yeah, you were right. This is bad. They're not mad at me, but just what have I done?
I'm surprised they haven't called you a Yankee yet, which would be hilarious.
Yeah, I get that. I got that in Houston. I get that anytime anybody talks to me. Apparently, I sound very northern. I don't know. But also, yeah, my opinions are more northern because I'm not embracing the South enough. It's really not a matter of that. It's just looking at it for what it is. You want the objective sports radio host opinion. That's what I'm going to give you. Unless when I tell you I'm going to be a fan, which that happens sometimes because I am a fan too. I like sports and I don't care who knows. Clemson, you're a good team. Dabo Swinney, you're a great dude. The flack that's been coming your way is funny, and he's been letting it roll off really nicely. I will reiterate that great quote that we had before because I don't know who needs to hear it, but it's a great thing to hear. Dabo said about Paul Finebaum giving his criticism, "Don't worry about criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from." I don't know who needs to hear it. John, I see you on the phone lines. We'll get to you on the other side. We got to take a break. We got to get back on clock. We went a little overboard last hour, but we'll get back to you. I promise. All right. We will get there. Derek Fogel filling in for Mark Ryan. You are Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Filling in for Mark Ryan, I'm Derek Fogle. It's been an interesting ride today on Offsides. Text in 71307. That's the number. Start your text with ESPN. And oh boy, here we go. This is an interesting one. As an unbiased look at both Carolina and Clemson fan bases, Clemson fans are the worst. They're always attacking South Carolina fans. That comes from a Clemson fan upset about us being critical of a bad ACC, which is really not an opinion. It's more of a fact. They're not very good right now. The ACC is in its valley. It'll have a peak soon enough, as soon as Florida State can get something going in Miami and even Louisville. You need that help if you're the Tigers. But it seems as though, Lonzo, we've triggered Clemson fans. And we will continue to do so because I don't understand. They feel attacked. Nobody's attacking Dabo Swinney. I'm on his side. I think that his response to Paul Feinbaum was brilliant. I think that a lot of things he says tend to get clickbaited, or they're turned into clickbait for some people when he says, like, oh, well, I'm not interested in paying college athletes. But then if you read his entire statement about what he said about it, then it actually makes more sense.
You know, by the way, the Feinbaum thing, he should thank Feinbaum, because if Feinbaum wasn't doing this, no one would be talking about Clemson at all.
Exactly. That's what I've been saying. That's why I don't understand this idea that, well, the country's sick of seeing Clemson. I don't think anyone is. I don't think anyone's paying attention to Clemson because they've had a weak schedule. And with that being said, if John is still on the line, Lonzo, let's put John through. John, you are offsides. What's going on?
Hey, guys. So I'm almost 31 years old, and I've been a Clemson fan my whole life. So I've seen it when it's been ugly, and I've seen what it has grown into under Dabo Swinney. Now, I do hate the fact that no other team in the ACC is any good. I was kind of hoping, I had high hopes for Miami when Mark Richt went over there, but then he ended up stepping down.
I like Mark Richt a lot.
You know, that just killed me. And, you know, South Carolina, I've got family that are South Carolina fans. Honestly, I wish South Carolina would be better, because then Clemson would have at least someone that was good that we would have to play during the season. And, you know, the fact that it's South Carolina kind of makes me upset that I'm even saying that I wish that they would be better. But at the same time, I feel like Clemson fans have gotten worse as the years have gone on. As Clemson has gotten better, the fans have gotten worse. I even heard a friend liken them to Ohio State fans, which made me almost lose my cookies.
You're about to trigger Lonzo, yeah.
I just can't.
I don't get triggered.
Ohio State. But anyway.
Hey, let me ask you a question, though, John. You know, I'm curious about this as an Ohio State fan. I believe that if you were born and bred in South Carolina, you're taught at an early age to hate Ohio State. And why? Why is it? Is it because of Woody Hayes, or is it something else?
No, it's not that. Ohio State fans just, and Ohio State players, to me, just seemed to be kind of pretentious. And I don't really like people that are pretentious. I don't really like hanging out with them. And, you know, people say the same thing about Clemson fans and about Alabama fans. You know, any great team, you're going to have people say that their fans are pretentious. Like, I'm a Yankees fan, and
oh,
I've been called many different things because I'm a Yankees fan. But
yeah, I just cringed when you said that.
Basically, it boils down to, yes, Clemson is a great team. Yes, Dabo Swinney has built a great culture and a great program. Yes, we can annihilate other teams, as can be seen in the national championship last year when Alabama was supposed to be the best team there ever was, and Clemson came in and basically, like I said, basically annihilated them. Anyway, the point is that, number one, I wish Clemson had better teams that we could play, because then we would be getting noticed and people would realize that we are as good as we are, and we still struggle against teams. Like you can see from this year, we beat UNC by 1 point, and it was kind of, you know, like a 50-50 thing where, you know, it was an unconventional way to end the game on UNC's part, but I think it was the right call. Anyway, there's usually one team every year that we struggle against, and that, I think, shows that Clemson isn't undefeatable.
Undefeatable. You know, John, I like where you're going with this, but I think the reality is for Clemson that they are going to have, with this week's schedule that they've had and the week ACC that they've had, they are going to have a little bit of shell shock, I think, once they get into the college football playoff. They might get a little bit of it in the ACC championship, but in the playoff, I think that the first quarter might be a little bit of a shock. Just the fact that they haven't played anybody, it's going to be a little bit of a rude wake-up call against the better teams on their schedule. Clemson started slow. And you would say, well, Derek, that's not true. Look at the halftime score against Wake Forest and Syracuse. They were up by, well, against Syracuse, they only up by 10, maybe. That was a really slow start. Syracuse was on their game at the time. But then I also think against Wake Forest, they got two touchdowns in the final 3 minutes before the half to really have that lead that you can feel good about. There were times, I mean, Texas A&M, they were in control of the game, but they really couldn't put them away. I think that Clemson has some steps that they're going to have to take immediately when they get into a big game in the college football playoff.
Hey, Derek, real quick, you know, I looked up pretentious just because I was curious, and it says, attempting to impress by affecting greater importance, talent, culture than is actually possessed. This sounds like the majority of our Clemson calls today. I'm just pointing it out.
Boy.
I just want to point that out. I don't think I'm pretentious. I think I've heard what pretentious is, and the phones have proved me out.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I really didn't say that much about Clemson. I don't feel like my opinion is that wild.
We were talking about the ACC, not about Clemson.
Yeah, I was just saying how they haven't played anyone. And they found their way into the playoff, and that's good because they are good enough. I was comparing them to the University of Utah, who has not played anyone in the Pac-12. They'll, of course, play Oregon in the Pac-12 championship, and that'll be a good game. The only team they beat is USC. They were ranked in the low 20s at the time, and I'm sorry, they actually lost to them. That's their one loss. And I said, who would you rather see? Utah or Clemson? And I defended Clemson, say, because they have similar schedules and similar attributes to their schedules and strength of victory. And I said, you'd rather see Clemson because the real talent is there, not Utah. This was all because I don't like Utah. And now I'm mad. And now I don't want to talk about it. Because I'm an adult, I'm a mature adult.
How very right. Mark Ryan-like. The Utes are coming for you, man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, but I don't know why. It's just now I'm frustrated. All right? The Utes need to lose. Actually, you know what would be best? I've said it before. I said it yesterday. LSU loses to Georgia. Perfect. Clemson slides up to 2. Georgia's 3. LSU 4. Ohio State doesn't move. Lonzo, I love how you're taking this pretentious blanket statement they put over Ohio State fans. You're taking it in stride. Do you feel good about it? You looked up pretentious in the dictionary. Do you feel better?
I don't believe I'm pretentious. If I were pretentious, I would be pointing out how great I am, and I would never do such a thing as that. So we'll just see how the phones continue. If they continue like they are, they'll prove me out that Clemson is actually, it's one of those, look at them, look at what they are, look at what they are, when you're really looking in the mirror at yourself. That's all I'm saying, Clemson fans.
Yeah, well, you know, we triggered them. They're mad. And you know what? You're not pretentious. You're a rapper. We established this. You can rhyme crush and lust. You can make those work, Lonzo.
That's right, yo.
Yep. Where's your MySpace page? Plug that MySpace page, dog. We got to hear this mixtape.
I do have a MySpace page. I've never been on it. I used to have a band, and no, it wasn't a rap band. It was a Christian rock band. But I bet my MySpace page still exists.
Oh, my God. I bet it does. Oh, that's beautiful. Rock band. What was the name of your rock band, Lonzo?
It was Crimson Promise. It was a Christian rock band.
Okay, Crimson Promise. Some Alabama fans probably approve.
We were around for over a decade.
Wow, that's quite a run.
Got invited back everywhere we went. So, I mean, you know, doesn't mean we're good. It's just people were nice.
Okay, see, you said got invited back, and that was great. For some reason, I heard God invited back. And I was like, man, you really did rock if God was inviting you back. So,
well, we were rocking for God, so hopefully that does have something to do with it.
But. You sure were, man. Oh, that's good stuff. All right, let's get to this. Hey, I've been wanting to talk about this for like an hour, and Clemson fans derailed me. You're not going to do it again. I won't allow it. Tua, he had a nice conversation. I need to stop yelling. I'm not mad anymore. Tua had a nice conversation about trying to figure out what he should do. Should he enter the draft with his hip injury, of course, or stay at Clemson for one more year? And did I just say stay at Clemson for one more year? Oh, God.
You did. They're getting to you, man. God. They're getting to you.
Oh, God. I am rattled. Right now, I can't believe I just did that. I'm going to throw up. If Tua will stay at Alabama for one more year, his faith is unmatched. He's really likable. That's not the issue here. I'm really actually just interested in what he should do. This is a really tough decision. I mean, a life-changing decision, no doubt. Does he go for the millions of dollars? Does he take the chance in not seeing what his hip can do and coming back and just cash in? Or does he stay at Alabama and people feel like he's going to be abused by Nick Saban, which I don't think is the case. But it's a really tough decision that I don't think could be bestowed upon a better person to make it. And I think he stays at Alabama, and I think that's what he needs to do and play through and learn what he can do with his hip. I don't think he'll fall that much. Even if he's playing through it and he doesn't look quite right, he'll still get drafted and signed for plenty of money. Look at Josh Rosen. That guy was an eggshell. He had shoulder injuries. He had, I think, a back injury. He still got signed big, and he hasn't done anything. So if you're worried about cashing in, I don't think Tua needs to worry about that at all. Go back to Alabama. Take your time getting back and getting ready. No one's going to fault you for being around Nick Saban for one more year. No one is going to fault you. Also, if you decided to cash in, I just don't think that's the better decision, right? Like, let yourself recover and also get a degree. That is important. I can tell you from being a Division I athlete myself, I thought I was going to play forever. Texter says he needs to go to the NFL now. He'll have a much tougher decision if the injury had happened earlier in the season. NFL teams will have the risk. Yeah, but get your degree. I don't know how close he is. I'm just thinking, be around Saban for one more year. Compete for a national title for one more year. Give yourself more opportunity to prove that you still have it even after the injury. If you don't have it even after the injury, you're still going to have somebody that's going to take a chance on you. With the kind of personality that you have and what you can still bring to a team, and they know what you're capable of. When you show somebody what you're capable of one time, they think that you can do it again. Look at Will Muschamp. He went to the Sugar Bowl. He went 10-2 one time at Florida. Now everybody believes that he can be that guy. He had one good season with South Carolina. He's 9-4. Suddenly you believe now he can be that guy. You do it one time and people think that you can just repeat it. It's not that easy to repeat it. It takes really great coaches and players to repeat. So I don't know. Texter disagrees, but appreciate you chiming in your opinion. 71307. Start that text with ESPN. Coming up next, I'm not sure who South Carolina could get in a coaching decision, whether it's this year, which it doesn't seem to be, but mostly next year. But I definitely know who they do not want to be after. And for some reason, Arkansas fans would like this as their replacement for Chad Morris. I'll tell you who next. Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You're Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You're still Offsides. So check this out. I told you how Cole Hamill signed with the Braves for 1 year, $18 million. Nice pitching pickup. The Phillies just signed Zach Wheeler for 5 years, $118 mil. NL East is getting strong. Look out, Braves. You're not the only ones making moves. Thought I'd throw that out there, keep you in the know. It's been good to see the MLB offseason not have the standoff so far that they did in the last few years with teams not willing to pay free agents. So that's good news for baseball. But check this out. So South Carolina needs a new head coach. We've discussed this ad nauseum. Don't need to really go in any further. It's probably not going to happen this offseason, but even next offseason. This is what I want you to know. There is one name that you certainly can check off the list, whether or not he's available. His name always comes up, and I don't know why. Lane Kiffin. Okay? Stop it. You do not want Lane Kiffin. And the reason why this came up is because SEC reporter, and she's also a reporter at Pig Trail Nation for University of Arkansas, Tara Talmadge. We've had her on the show before. She took a picture of an Arkansas fan at one of their basketball games that says, "Hire Lane Kiffin." And it has so much interaction on Twitter, 51 retweets. People actually want Lane Kiffin to replace Chad Morris at Arkansas. Are you out of your mind? Okay, Lane Kiffin, his career makes more sense backwards than it does forwards. Okay, here is his career. Okay. Fresno State assistant, Colorado State, then Jacksonville Jaguars. He was an assistant. Then he was at USC as the tight ends, wide receivers, offensive coordinator. Then he jumps up to the Oakland Raiders head coach at Tennessee for a year, then to USC, then Alabama offensive coordinator, then Florida Atlantic, where he is now. Let's rewind this and go backwards. Florida Atlantic head coach, Alabama offensive coordinator, head coach at USC, Southern California, head coach at Tennessee, head coach of the Raiders. That makes more sense. He is digressing in his career. You do not want any part of that. Why does his name come up every single time there's a coaching vacancy? I don't understand it. Lane Kiffin, look, he's not your guy. Okay, he is not your guy. Move on. I don't know why Arkansas fans want that, but also if you're South Carolina, just don't even think about it. That is an automatic no. Now, there could be a yes with a really great coaching scenario that could play out. Who might that be, you ask? Well, do you know what happened with the University of Washington this week? Chris Peterson, head coach of the Huskies, steps down, says he wants to recharge. And, you know, he had a lot of stress and anxiety. He said he needed a year off from football. And he said he didn't want to be anywhere near football. He wants a year off. Good. He's done a lot with that Husky program. How do you think he would feel after a year coming to the SEC, going across the country for a fresh, recharged start? How nice does that sound? That sounds pretty good to me, and I'm not even interested in the job. I'm not an NFL. I'm sorry. I'm not a college football head coach. But that seems like a pretty good fit. That could be the best scenario to pan out for South Carolina that you didn't even – like, that is a godsend right there. A guy that has proven success in the Pac-12, which is meh, but he put the Huskies in the national title conversation. If you don't believe he was in the national title conversation, at least in the college football playoff conversation, did a lot. They got really close. They were top 10. They've since fallen off a little bit, which rightfully so. If he's struggling with stress and everything else, what are you going to do? You're going to try and take a step back. And college football, being a coach where you have to recruit and you're constantly trying to game plan, and that is the most stressful job that I do not envy anyone. Look at Bob Stoops. He quit. He had to quit for his own health. But this is the best case scenario and really a reason to hang on to Will Muschamp for one more year. You hang on to Will Muschamp for one more year, you could have Chris Peterson from the University of Washington come all the way across the country to the SEC. Hey, you wanted to recharge. You wanted a fresh start. Here you go. And this is, you know, it also gets me thinking about this. How does Will Muschamp going to find an offensive coordinator for one year benefit anyone? I mean, what it's worrisome almost because it makes you feel like, all right, if we'll let him fire an offensive coordinator. We're going to give him one more year. He's our coach. And with this new offensive coordinator, we'll see what he does. If he gives you any flash of hope, it is very worrisome that you would think Ray Tanner would bring him back for another year. Look, Will Muschamp, very likable, maybe not quite to the level of Ron Rivera, but there's certainly a reason to keep him around for that. Don't get fooled into feeling like you should give Will Muschamp more time because he has a new offensive coordinator. You already know what you have. You have a one-and-done type guy. You have a lightning-in-a-bottle type guy where one season's going to be there for you, and it's going to be the reason why you keep him around. At Florida, it was because he went 10-2 in his second year. At South Carolina, it was because he went 9-4 in his second year. You know what you have already. Move on. And even if it's a new offensive coordinator, even if it's a new look, you might have the opportunity to get a proven Moxie head coach to move across the country and feel recharged and just have a clean slate. That seems like a pretty good fit for me. That seems really lucky, if you're asking me. But bottom line, no Lane Kiffin, yes to Chris Peterson. I don't understand this Lane Kiffin thing. I really don't. Again, here is his career since 2007, moving forward in time to now, present, the last 10 years. Oakland Raiders head coach, University of Tennessee head coach, University of Southern California head coach, Alabama offensive coordinator, Florida Atlantic head coach. Say that backwards and it makes more sense. Dude flunked out of the NFL miserably, had his run-ins with Nick Saban. What happened at Tennessee? That was the ugliest year. That was 2009. What in the world? And then he left for USC. I mean, the dude's just following the money. You know that by now. But then he goes to Alabama for a couple years as a quarterback coach and offensive coordinator coach. And then I've actually heard from former NFL and Arkansas quarterback Clint Sterner about, he's talked with players and other coaches about working with Lane Kiffin, and he's just said, it is a hard no from me after hearing the things that I've learned. Yeah, no. Just leave him at Florida Atlantic. He's kind of a lightning rod for attention anyway. That's good for the Owls. Florida, let me look. This is always fun. What college mascot are the Florida Atlantic University? They are the Owls. I'm right. Yes. Yeah, just let him wallow down there. It's a really nice area. Isn't he Florida Atlantic? That's in Miami, I'm pretty sure. Or in Boca Raton. Yeah, he's in Boca. Just let him be there. He, you know, hooks up with students. Let him do his thing. You don't want any part of that in the SEC ever again. Think you learned your lesson at Tennessee. They renamed a sewage treatment plant after Lane Kiffin. I'm Googling it right now. Tennessee Lane Kiffin Sewage. That is, and yep, the Lane Kiffin Sewage Center. It was a proposal. It lingered, and I'm not sure if it actually came to fruition from the Knoxville City Council Public Properties and Facilities Naming Committee. It said that they were going to rename the wastewater treatment plant. Yeah, so there you go.
It's funny you said it lingered. It lingered.
Yeah, see what I did
like
there?
Like the smell of the sewage plant. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's why it's amazing to me that he comes up with the footprint he left in just the short time he was at Tennessee. So you know about him in the SEC. USC is a national college football brand. You know what he did there. You know his time with the Raiders wasn't pretty. You know he had run-ins with Nick Saban, which that's not saying a whole lot. Everyone seems to have a problem with Nick Saban, except for very few. But like even what he's done at Florida Atlantic, like he's just a running joke in college and professional football. Why even consider it? And I guess, you know what? We should send out a memo to David Tepper also. Hey, do not look at Lane Kiffin. We know he's 44 and young and could look as innovative as you are trying to find an analytical in a young guy. Do not do it. Do not. He's a joke. Please do not. Please be thinking about Chris Peterson. And see, that's the bad thing is I think about this for South Carolina. Like, yeah, it's a best case scenario. If you could snag Chris Peterson after stepping down from University of Washington. But what if you ditch Muschamp in the middle of the season just to make sure that you can get a head start at Peterson? You're totally quitting on a season. And I don't think that's entirely out of the realm. Players could even quit on it. Seems like they already had from what we had talked to a sideline reporter during the Mizzou game when you go from Columbia to Columbia this year, and that was a really ugly loss, and it seemed like everyone besides Brian Edwards didn't care. I mean, it's a slippery slope this next year for South Carolina, which is why they probably need to jump ship now. They won't, but you do possibly have a future that could really turn out nicely, but you got to have to, good things come to people who wait. I'm going to throw that cliche at you. That's what you're going to have to live with for now. I'm Derek Fogle, filling in for Mark Ryan. You're still offsides. You want to chime in? Text line number 71307. Start that text with ESPN. You want to call in? 844-477-3776. Coming up next, I forgot to tell you about the absolute worst case scenario Thanksgiving that I had. You can laugh at me. That's what I'm here for. Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You know, I don't know if there are many specific ways that you can particularly ruin a holiday. Like maybe if your costume accidentally got caught up in the wash or something and it ripped, or you ruined your costume for Halloween, that might really bum out your holiday. But for Thanksgiving, the one worst case scenario I could possibly think of for ruining the holiday would be to get the stomach flu. And that is exactly what happened to me, Lonzo. I got whatever in the world is going around. And so my Thanksgiving, I couldn't quite indulge the way that I wanted to. The worst possible scenario, stomach flu, things were coming up when things weren't stopped coming up. They started going down. I don't want to elaborate any further. All bad things, worst Thanksgiving ever. And, you know, most of the ways people think that Thanksgiving gets ruined is like, oh, you know, there's a family discussion about politics. No. I couldn't eat the way I wanted to. And I don't think there's any other way that you could possibly run a holiday.
See,
go ahead.
I was to say I disagree with you. We talked about yesterday how I broke my knee. I broke my knee on Thanksgiving. So,
yes.
So,
well, I think personal bodily harm is bad on any holiday.
I'd rather have stomach flu than, you know, being in the hospital on Thanksgiving. So I didn't get any Thanksgiving that Thanksgiving. I got some hospital food and it was pretty nasty. So.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. That's not good. But I mean, it's like getting coal on Christmas, right? If people are still doing that.
So were you doing Thanksgiving at home or were you supposed to go someplace or?
So I was splitting time between my place and my girlfriend's parents. And it all started the last day, the day we were supposed to leave her parents' house and go to my parents' place. That is when everything went downhill. And oh man, it was just bad. I mean, you can laugh at me all you want, but it is everything that you could possibly think. So then when I get to my parents, things started to mellow out, but it's worst case scenario, Alonzo. It doesn't get much worse. Like, think about it. You're supposed to overeat and enjoy all this fun food for Thanksgiving. And what am I doing? Not that. It was forgettable, man. Forgettable.
Did you at least get to watch some football? I mean,
oh,
you know.
I did. Okay. I did. Are you a Black Friday or Cyber Monday type shopper, Alonzo? Are you going to go out there and get the deals? Did you?
I didn't. I went to one place on Black Friday because I'm an Uber nerd. I went to a comic book store.
Okay.
Because they have a Black Friday sale where they have 20% off, you know, all their action figures and statues and comic books. And yeah, I know people are laughing right now, but I don't care. You know, I'm into what I'm into. And
that's more mainstream than you think, Lonzo. People are into that.
I can tell you they make quite a bit of money. So and there are a lot of people in there.
Yeah, that's the only thing. There's a lot of people in there. My girlfriend and I, we went and did some shopping. We weren't looking for anything, but it's always kind of fun to get out there into the Black Friday experience and see if there's any fights or anything. I didn't see any, and I actually didn't see many go viral. So I guess I should be proud of us as Americans for not doing that, but I'm disappointed. I want to see people throw hands. That's my viral entertainment. Filling in for Mark Ryan, you're still offsides. I'm Derek Fogle. Coming up next, basketball season is here, but you didn't notice. Ratings are dropping. Why? The theories are pretty interesting. They're wide-ranging, too. We'll talk about it next. Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.